Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Chof. We're holding the Mishnah on Yud Tes Amid Beis. Roughly, it's the second wide line on the bottom of Yud Tes Amid Beis. Our Mishnah continues to tell us about the Kohen Gadol. And now, in particular, it's now Leil Yom Kippur. On Leil Yom Kippur, we do not want the Kohen Gadol to fall asleep, because we are concerned if he falls asleep, he might become Chas V'Sholem a Bal Keri. And if he becomes a Bal Keri, then Cholila, he will be Tomei. He will not be able to do the Avoida. And therefore, says our Mishnah, Bikesh Lehisnamnein. If the Kohen Gadol wanted to begin to doze off, Pirchei Kohuna Makim Lefona Be'etzpatz Roda, then the youngsters among the Kohanim would come and they would start snapping their fingers. Now, how do you snap a finger? So if you look at, well, why don't we wait until we get to the Gemara? Voyim Rumloi, and they say to the Kohen Gadol, Ishi Kohen Gadol, Amoid, Shtayof, get up. V'hofeg, hofeg means to go and try to dispel the sleep that you have by walking around. Hopefully that'll dispel and push it off. Achas al horitzpah. The Gemara is going to learn Achas al Ritzba means we ask the Kohen Gadol to do something special, like we would call today a gymnastic, an acrobatic act, so that would wake him up and would also, if you will, entertain the youngsters, the Pirchei Kohuna that helped to keep him awake. And we keep him busy. And Shegi is man ashchita until they're ready to go and shecht the carbon tomid shachar in the morning. And the Gemara is going to elaborate on these concepts. Zok Gemara mitz rada. We began the Mishnah by saying that Pirchei Kohuna would snap their fingers. Makan lefana be'etzba tzerada. What's the taich tzerada? Omer Rav Yehuda tzerasa dido. It's like the word tzara that you have in Yevamis when you have two co-wives which are competing with one another. Here too we have competition between the fingers. Which finger are we talking about? So Rashi learns the simple pshat that we start off with the thumb and then we look at its tzara being the next finger, what I think is called the index finger, and you try to snap those two together and that makes a sound and that keeps the Kohen Gadol up. And in fact, in case you have any doubts, Mechvir Rav Huna, the Ozel Kola Bikuli Beirav. Rav Huna was an expert at snapping his finger to the point that it made such a large coil you could hear in the whole Bris Medrash. That's how heavy duty his snapping
skills
shkoyach were. Now, Rabbi Yisai, I allow all of you to take a short moment to try to snap your first finger, your thumb, together with your index finger. As you'll find, in fact, it is very difficult, and it makes a very shvacha sound. But let's look at the Rashi. Tzerasa dada, that is very close to our Gemara, parallel to our Gemara, tzerasa dada, tzerasa shalzu, what's the tzara of the gudul of the thumb? That's the etzpah, that's the index finger. Ti tzara lezu, it is a tzara for the first finger, tzara meaning it's like competitor. Umay hizu, gudul, he would take the gudel, which again is the thumb. He would take the etzba smucha legudel, which of course is the index finger. He would go and have the two get together with strength, v'shoynta, and would let it now and then slip after you snap it. And then it hits his palm. And you hear the coil all over. Now for those of you that tried it out, you notice that it's not that easy to go and get a... You're able to do that? You're a wonder. Wow. However, the Tosis Yishonim respectfully disagrees. And Tosis Yishonim says, all the way at the end, it's the last Tosis Yishonim on the Amid. He brings Pirish Bekuntris. In my Gemara, it's two lines from the bottom of the Amid. All the way in the bottom. Shu Etzba Sheini the Gudel. He says, no, he brings from Rashi, and he says that's the second finger after the gudel. Rabbeinu Tam Pirish, Kizuhi Amma. The tzarda is tzarasa dedosh iya gudel. In other words, not that you're taking the etzba finger, but you're taking the umma, the middle finger. Now you can try with the little finger, and that does a much better job, right? That rarely makes noise. Etzba gedoyla shalimin. That's the big guy. The big guy, the middle finger. And you can hear it. In Parshish Kolim. Gei v'cholafora b'tzroda hechilu. V'zeu lefi shedoyrish v'chol bashlish ofer ha'aretz. Afar ha'aretz. It's shlish over here means the third finger. D'be'etzba shlishi b'ro'oi u'b'shum medrish motzim. So, you see that the Tosfos Shana brings b'shem Rabbeinu Tam that we're talking about the third finger and not the second finger together with the gudul. The why is that called the tzara? It's already a little bit, it's a bit of a doichik pshat, but what he's saying is that the third finger is the tzara of the finger that is right next to the gudul. The gudul has the index finger right next to it. We don't take that one. We take its tzara. What is its tzara? Its co-wife, its competitor. That's the third finger. And with that says the Tosfos Yeshanim, and as we know, if you go and bang that, it makes a much larger sound. Nishma Yoyser Hakon. Okay, is a machlekes. Back to the Gemara. So now we told the Kohen Gadol, start walking around, so that hafeg, that will hopefully dispel some of the sleepiness, and then we say, Achas al Haritzpa. What's my Achas al Haritzpa? Now, Poshib Shah, Luli HaGemara, you can go and say,
take a nap.
No, we don't want him to take a nap. As we say, Ishi Kohen Gadol Amoid, stand up, V'hofik Achas al Ritzpa, walk around a little bit on this on the Ritzpa, on the floor, so you will dispel some of the sleepness that you have, the sleepiness, whatever the word is.
Sleepiness.
Oh, Shkaya, sleepiness. I'm kind of sleepy, so that's why I had three simchas last night, so I'm a little
Baruch
bit...
Hashem.
Baruch Hashem. Those are no simchas. Never. However, the Gemara doesn't learn it like the way. The Gemara learns that Achas al Ritzpa is almost like a separate phrase on its own, that we want the Kohen to dispel his sleepiness. How? Rav Yitzchak al Chadas. By making some sort of chidush. Something new. What's something new? Mahi. Amrilei ach v'kida. We say to the Kohen Gadol, please show us how you do kida. What exactly is kida? So Rashi explains. No, it's goydla b'aretz. This is a real gymnastic type of feat. You have it. Your Rashi is about 5-6 lines before the wide lines. No, it's goydla b'aretz. You go and stick your thumbs into the ground. V'shoyche, and you bend over. V'noyshik es ritzva, and you go and kiss the floor. V'oymen, and then you stand up. Kach mefurish mesechtes sukkah. Near Mesechtes Sukkah, the modern text tells us that Levi, who was very acrobatic, did this, and one time, unfortunately, he became itla, he became lame, as a result of, I guess, misjudging whatever he was doing. So he was doing it then at the time of the Simchas Beis HaSheva. So you see that it requires acrobatic and gymnastic skills to be able to do this. Poshet means that you have to stand up instead of standing on your feet. You stand instead of standing on your head, instead of standing on your hands, you're standing on two thumbs, and then you push yourself up and down to go and kiss the floor. Rabbi said, don't try it out now. I don't even recommend you trying it out after this year, because chalila, that could be very dangerous.
So but anyway, it's a handstand?
It's a finger stand.
A thumb stand.
A thumb stand, yeah. Exactly. And then you go up and down to give a kiss.
That's not easy.
Not easy. But that kept the Kohen Gadol up. And probably he was practicing that also for 7 days. Anyway, continuing the one, Masikin Oisayat Shigiyas Manchita, we keep him busy until it's Manchita. Tana, Loihoyu Masikin Oisayat Shigiyas. They didn't go and play any instruments, which is not surprising, because after all, it's Yom Kippur, even though these are Pirchei Kuhuna. But nevertheless, they didn't play any instruments, Elabapeh. But they were singing. What did they sing? Mahain Oimrim, Mahoyu Oimrim, Em Hashem Lo Yivne Bayis Shav. Omlu boinav boin. This is a very, very important lesson from the Pasuk. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not go and give the Siyata Dishmaya, didn't give the blessing that this house should be built, Shov Omlu boinav boin, the contractors and the workers have wasted their time. Everybody knows the famous story of the Titanic. Here you have all the king's horses and all the king's men put together the Titanic, all the rocket scientists, but if Hashem didn't give the special bracha, the Titanic can sink in the water. And that's what happened over here. Gemara tells us, "Im Hashem li'iv nabayis." The pasuk tells us, if Hashem didn't build the house, then shav om lebayne boy. All of the builders and all the contractors have wasted their efforts, have wasted their time. And here too, we're telling the Kohen Gadol, when you're doing the avoida, make sure you do it l'shem shemayim, that it should be oyle l'rotzei l'fonav before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if not, you're wasting your time, you're wasting our time. The tefillahs have to go up, and the avoida has to go up with the l'shem shemayim. See the last Rashi before the wide lines. Em Hashem lo yivne bayis, kolaymer, hizor b'avoidascha. Be careful with your avoida. Shetei l'shem shemayim, shetei l'rotzei, shem ein ritzuya. If it's not going to be accepted by Hashem, ein torchecha oil leklum. All of the work that you've done for the last 7 days and that you're doing today on Yom Kippur with the Chavinas Haktoiris is gurish vet. Shav om lubayne boy. Bechinam yegeim bebinyan shelo yiskayim. If Hashem doesn't give the bracha, then the whole binyan can go and topple. Here too, if you didn't do it the Shem Shemayim, all of your tefillahs are worthless.
For naught.
For naught. Continues the Gemara. Miyakir Yishalayim lo hoy yishenim kol alayla. Kedei shiishma koyin godl koy lavar. Another way of keeping the Kohen Gadol up was that Yakir Yishalayim, they did not sleep that night, but rather they would stay in Besmedish and they would learn, or they would say Tehillim, the Koil Rash Gadol, with a very, very strong, loud voice, and that loud commotion was strong enough to keep the Kohen Gadol up, so he shouldn't fall asleep. Tanya Abba Sholayim Apik Vulano Yoisim Kei. Not only the Beis HaMikdash, but even outside the Beis HaMikdash. And not only outside the Beis HaMikdash, but even outside Eretz Yisrael in Bavel. They used to do that. Zeichel HaMikdash. Ella, unfortunately, Shoh Yechoitim, there were some places that they came the day Chait. It's very, very hard to understand, but the Gemara tells us that unfortunately, because it came this minig to go and make a lot of noise, instead of being a night that people were saying Tillim, and learning, etc. Unfortunately, in certain areas, it became a place for frivolous conduct. Omer Abaye v'Simer Nachba Yitzchak Tirguma Neherdo. Look at the last Rashi. Tirguma Lahay Bigvulam. We just said now Bigvulam that unfortunately it led to Chait. That was Neherdo. Hecha Yichoytim Neherdo. Now, what was the Chait that they engaged in? So look at the previous Rashi. Elisho Yechoitin, Misachkim, Anoshim, Venoshim Yachad, Uboim Laveira. It became a very, very frivolous type of atmosphere, men and women together, even though they're not eating or drinking because it's Yom Kippur. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, someone made a joke and this led to another joke and it became
fraternizing.
It fraternizing, but it became much worse, as Yimor will tell us now. Omale, the Omale Eliyol Rav Yehuda, Achvad Rav Salah Chasida. Eliyahu HaNavi said to Rav Yehuda, Achvad Rav Salah Chasida, Amrisu, you keep on asking, Amai Le'osim Mashiach, why has Mashiach not come yet? Says Eliyahu HaNavi, I'll tell you why. V'ho idna yoymet kippurihu. Today is Yom Kippur. In other words, this conversation apparently took place on Yom Kippur. V'ivoil kama besulta b'nei ador. And unfortunately, some besulois, many besulois, unfortunately were nival, there was bia that night in Nei ador. As we know, one of the five inuyim is that one has to stay when cannot. It's also b'tashiv shamita. And here we're talking about a psula. We're not even talking about married couples. We're talking about nebuch. It will come a psula to b'ne'edah. They came the day of Eir. So now, Rav Yehuda Achvad Rav Salah Chasida asked Eliyahu Navi, Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mayamar. What does the Kadosh Baruch Hu say about this nebuch? Amalei says Kadosh Baruch Hu defends Klal Yisrael, and he says La Pesach Chatos Roivet. What does that mean? Says the Tap Rashi, Yetzahara Machtioi Bal Karchai. These boys and girls presumably started off Yom Kippur Erlech and the Shem Shemayim with Hirhure Tshuva, but unfortunately there's a big Yetzahara out there. That Yetzahara works 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, never takes a vacation. So now you would think to yourself that the Satan also works 365 days a year, and that on that day the Satan would go up in Shemayim and say to Rabbeinu Shloim, look at the Yidlach, you think they're doing tshuva, they're doing Averis on this holy day. The Satan Mayama, what does the Satan say? Omalesi answered him, Satan b'yemit kipuri, lesle reshusa listune. Satan on the day of Yom Kippur, today he has vacation. The Yetzirah is busy 365 days a year, but the Satan is closes his mouth, closes his office on Yom Kippur. Mimai, how do I know? Amram bar Chama, Hasatan. If you take the word Hasatan, Hey Sin Tes Nun. Hey, of course, is 5. The Sin is 300. That's 305. The Tes is 9. That gets you to 314. The Nun is 50. 314 and 50 is 364. How do I know that? Because the Gemara continues on. Hasatan begimatria tlas meya beshitin bar bohaven. It's 364. Zokti more tlas meya beshitin bar bo yoimi isle reshus at liestune. The Satan has the authority to go and be mastin. Mastin means, here we're not talking about the Satan as Yetzihara, the Satan as the prosecutor, to go up in front of Hashem and to complain about the sins of Klal Yisrael. 364 days he has that authority. But on Yom Kippur he does not have that authority. On Yom Kippur he has to remain quiet. So unfortunately the Yetzirah is busy overtime and he probably gets paid 2.5 times his normal wage on Yom Kippur because he's supposed to be quiet on Yom Kippur. Everybody's doing tshuva. But unfortunately the Yetzirah is working overtime. But the Satan is quiet. On the day of Yom Kippur he has no right to say anything. And we go on to the next Mishnah. Zok Mishnah. We're now getting past the evening hours. The Kohen Gadol is up. And now we're going to start getting into the actual avoidos on Yom Kippur. Or at least the preliminary avoidos on Yom Kippur. B'chol Yom Terminus HaMizbeach B'kriyas HaGeber Oy Samachloi Bein Lefanov Bein Leachrav. Every day of the year there's the Trumas Hadeshen. We've had the Trumas Hadeshen many, many times. Trumas Hadeshen means regardless of how much deshen, how much ash has accumulated on the Mizbeach from all of the karbonis of the previous day. As you know, at the absolute minimum on every day, you have to have at least 2 tamidim, the Tomet Shel Shachar and the Tomet Shel Bein Aboyim. And those 2 tamidim is not just the Eimer on the Mizbeach, it's the entire animal goes on the Mizbeach, the entire, the Basar, the whole kit and caboodle. And as a result, that develops into ash. And of course, on the average day, you had many people coming in, bringing carbon oilois or carbon shlomim, and occasionally people that were sinning brought a carbon chatas, or carbon osham. And of course, you had other kabbanas, whether it's b'chor, maser behema, etc., etc., carbon toida. So, there was sometimes a lot of ash, and sometimes a little bit of ash. Regardless of how much ash had accumulated on the Mizbeach, on the Maracha, every day, the first thing that they did was Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen was a symbolic removal of ash. Symbolic in the sense, even though there was even on a day where it was very, very unbusy, very quiet, so that the next morning there was barely any ash which had accumulated, nevertheless, you're supposed to go with a shovel, take off some of the ash, and go down the Kevesh, right next to the Kevesh, about 10 tvachim beyond the Kevesh, you go and put down the ash on the floor, and Chazal tell us that it was nivla into the floor miraculously. You never had to take a broom and clean it away. You put the ash there, you come back later, sinishdor meka ash, the ash has now been swallowed up into the ground. When did this take place? Vikriyas hagever. What exactly is a gever? We have this already back in Masechet Shkolim, but we're going to have this once again on the Amud Beis. A machloikis where the gever means gavra, means a professional crier, someone who's going to call out. Now, what did the crier call out? We'll see in Mi'at Hashem on the Amud Beis that there was a crier that would go around town and he would be waking up the Kahanim, the Levim, Yisraelim, and telling them, Rabbeisai, it's time to do the Avodim Beis Hamikdash. Yeah, we'll see about that shortly. But there's another type of the word gever means a rooster. So when the rooster started saying cock-a-doodle-doo in the morning, that was the time that they did the Trumas Alishka. And from the Gemara, it's mashma, but that was more or less at the time of Amud HaShachar. So this was on a daily basis, Amud HaShachar, which is, you know, is 72 minutes even before Netzach Hama. That's when the Beis Midrash started getting ready for the Avoida. First thing was the Trumas Hadeshah. And the Gemara says, in other words, you could start a little bit earlier, a little bit later, but it was around the Amud HaShachar time, the Kriyas HaGever. However, Yom Kippurim, Mechatzos. Then they started already earlier on. That's 12 o'clock midnight. And we'll see Mishum the Amid Beis. The reason is because since the Kohen Gadol is going to be busy a whole day with Avodah, we want to give him as much latitude in terms of timing as possible. So we start very, very early. Uber Golim on a Yomtiv. There you have Kanai Nahara, a grace Oilim comes for Yomtiv to the Beis HaMikdash. Miashmura HaRishayna. Then it was from the first Hashmura. You remember from the beginning of Masechtas Brachos, a machlokes where there were three or four Hashmiras, but we hold that there were three, and therefore the end of the Shmura Rishayna was at roughly 10 o'clock. In other words, you take 12 hours of the night, divide it up by three, so then the first Hashmura would end at 10, from 6 to 10, 4 hours. So they would already start the Trumas Hadeshen at 10 o'clock. And the reason why they did it is, like the Mishnah tells us, Hoisa Kriyas gave him a gas. By the time Amud HaShachar happened, hours later, at Hoisa Azor Malei Yisrael, it was packed to capacity in the Azor. So that's why they had to start early, to allow for the people to start coming in and filling up the Azor.
Talk to you about Tananos. They had to wait for the Korban Tavid anyway, so I mean, what did they gain?
Everybody wanted to go and bring their Korban Oilas Re'iyah and Shalmi Chagiga, so they wanted to be first online so that they could come in first, bring their Kabbalahs, then leave quickly.
But how did moving up the Truma Sedeshin, how did that help them? Because they still had to wait for the Korban Tumid.
You're 100% right. But the earlier you start, the earlier you get the people in, the earlier the whole process works. Zoktimar, Tananos, we learned in the Mishnah. What happens if during the evening, remember the Hekter Chalov and Beivorim were kosher kol alayla. That doesn't mean that they waited until night. If there was enough time, they put the Chalov and Beivorim on the Mizbech already midboy joy. But you could put it on at night as well. Now, from time to time, as a result of the fire and as a result of the Eivorim that were on the fire, there would be sparks occasionally, and then the Eivorim might, in fact, go and pop off the Mizbeach, off the Maracha, onto the floor. Or for that matter, off the Maracha, onto the side of the Mizbeach. So what do you do about these Eivorim? Shteit on the Mishnah Masechtas Zvachim. If this happened koidem chatzois, yachzir. If it's before chatzois, put it back on the Mizbeach, because that's the mitzvah of the Hekter Chalom Eivorim. And there is a din of Me'ila. What means is a din of Me'ila? Explains Rashi. Because there is still a requirement to go and put it back on the Maracha, you haven't finished doing the Avodah. It's Loinasis Mitzvosoi. It's still part of the carbon, part of the Eivorim and Emron on the Mizbeach. Shoyt, it's Kodesh LaHashem. And if you have Hanoa now from that flesh, or from that bone, or from that Eivor that's on the Maracha, there's a din of Me'ila. However, the Achatzois, if the same Eivor falls off the Mizbeach after Chatzois, and at this point you do not have to go and return the Eivor to the fire, to the Maracha, Rashi adds, only if it's Moshla Boy Hu'ur. Moshla Boy Hu'ur means it already started getting singed from all sides by the fire. Aval Pishiyesh Boy Mamash, even though you could still see the Eivor very clearly, in other words, the meat on this Eivor will not be consumed probably for another couple of hours, but nevertheless you see that there is a fire which is consuming that Eivor. If it's beyond Chatzois, after Chatzois, you no longer have to return it to the Ma'arocha, because what you did is already enough. It's Nasis Mitzvosei. And we have a famous rule that we learned back in Masechtas Pesachim, and that you have throughout Shas, that every mitzvah, Shenasis Mitzvosei, Ein Me'alim Boy, once you did the mitzvah, there's no longer a din of Me'ila. So here too, I was already Yoitza. Baruch Hashem, this Eivor is already singed from all sides. No din of Mila. So, Chatzois, Le'yachzim, Ein Me'alim Boy. Pray to Benon Amili. Where do we get this from? That this?
Excuse me, one question. Maybe the mitzvah of Hekter Chalav and Bevorim hasn't been done, but the mitzvah of Trumas HaDeshen, that this bird korban will, the ash this bird korban will produce, that hasn't been done. So why isn't it pending Me'ila until that? Because until it's burned and becomes ash and the Trumas HaDeshen is removed, it's still on the pathway to having a mitzvah fulfilled with it. It should still be right for Me'ila.
It's a good point. The Gemara is not referring to the ash per se. The Gemara is referring to the Eivorim. and those Arvarim in fact have not turned into ash, those are still, Rashi says, Moshle b'hoyehu ur, avopi sheyesh b'imamish. In other words, it's still intact. You could see the flames consuming it from all sides, but it has not been transformed into ash yet. So therefore, this is not ro'oi for the Trumas Hadeshen. Good. Other ash which is on the Marocha, our Gemara doesn't address, and presumably there would be a din of Me'ila, because yes, there is a din of, or mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen. But again, the Gemara doesn't address that. So getting back to the Gemara, Minu Anamili, how do I know that the line of demarcation is 12 o'clock? Maybe it's 1 o'clock, or 2 o'clock, or maybe there is no line of demarcation. There are two psukim. In truth, we're really talking about the same pasuk. If you look at numbers 2 and 3 in the Torah Or HaShalem, and you have it today, and I'm sure you're very happy about that, it says in the beginning of Parashas Tzav, Tzav is Sahar and Vyasbon of Leim Azoyis Torah Sa'oila. What is the halacha v'gabi the korban oila? He oila al moita al mizbeach kol halayla ara boiker v'esha mizbeach tukad boy. It says that the oil is supposed to be on the mizbeach kol halayla, the entire night, until the morning. And what happens? V'esha mizbeach tukad boy, and it's burning. That's one pasuk. The next pasuk immediately thereafter, which is Oiz Gimel, or number 3, V'lovash ha-koyin midoi vad, u'michnesei vad yilbash al-bsoroi, v'heirim es ha-deshen asher toichalo esh, take off the deshen which is on the fire. Es ha-oil al-mizbeach, v'somei etz al-mizbeach, take off trumas ha-deshen and put it on the side. Now, it doesn't say in Pasuk 3, V'lovash ha-koyin midoi vad, when this takes place. One could logically say that this takes place in the morning, because the previous Pasuk says, leave the entire oila on the mizbeach, kol alayla ada boiker, and then the next pasuk says, yeah, now it's morning v'heirim es hadeshen. However, the Gemara doesn't learn it that way. The Gemara learns by the smichus of the psukim. Since that pasuk doesn't say when you take the deshen off, that perhaps the removal of the deshen also takes place at night. And that's the lashon of the Gemara, kosev echad oimer kol alayla v'hikdir. The first pasuk suggests that the entire night v'hikdir, it's still burning. The pasuk doesn't even use the word v'hikdir, but it does use the word al moita v'esham is be'ech tukad boy. So it's supposed to go and be burned the entire night. The kosev echad oimer kol alayla, and then it says v'heirim es hadeshen. Okay, tzad, it cannot be that you're both being makter at night and both being made in the deshen at night. Okay, it's a chalkeu, chetzi laktorah, chetzi laroma. What the pasuk is telling you is, split it down the middle. The first part of the night, that's called moita kol laila, and then in fact until chatzois is called kol laila, while the other part of the night, meaning after chatzois, that's when you have the din of v'heirim es hadeshen. If you want to look at the Rashi, Mino Animili, third wide line, Mino Animili de chatzois oise ikol. How do you know that chatzois causes it to be equal? Equal means that the Evorim are deemed to be consumed by the fire, and you don't have to worry about them any longer. Zot Rashi kol alayla v'hikter, hi hu oila al moita kol alayla, al makol alayla mitzvah liois al moita, the entire night, the chalovim and Evorim should be on the ma'arocha. Al makol alayla ha'vektores Evorim, a whole night? Vafil mash ala moikin in paka. And even if there was something previously on the moikin and fell off, put it back, because it's kol alayla. Because of echadayim kol alayla v'heirim. The samach le lahukra, you have the next pasuk, v'lova shekoyim v'devad, v'heirim es ha-deshen, alma kol alayla hu choshev ki ikul. Oh, throughout the night it's already considered as if it's already mu'uchal, it's already consumed. Ukri basar hu oila deshen, and now the psara oila has become into deshen, into ash. When we should bashla by your ur, v'koshla rima, now you can go and lift it out. So says the Gemara, what do I see from that? Chalkeu chetzi lahaktora, next Rashi, chetzi lahaktora, she'ena ikul, v'empokoi, tzorech lahachsir, lihaktir, half of the night, it's not deemed to be mi'ukal, it's not deemed to be consumed. And therefore, if it falls off the mizbeach, you gotta put it back. v'chetzia, but the other night is laharoma, that you can already do the trumas hadashen. Mechatzois. Ulhalon kori dashen. Hal mechatzois meshavli ikl. So we see by the fact of these two psukim working in tandem, that we split up the night. First part of the night is considered to be the night when you're still being osek and being maktir, the evarim and the pedorim and the chalovim. And the second part of the night, after chatzois, that's already trumas hadeshen time. Frank Dima Moser of Kahana, from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, b'chol yom terbisim izbeach v'kriya segeber oy samach loy ben mefanu meymel achrav. That, around Amud HaShachar time, that's when we go and do the trumas hadeshen. V'yem kippurim mechatzois. That's fine, chatzois time. But regardless, when it comes Yom Tov, mi'ashmur arishon, already from 10 o'clock. V'sol kedaitach, and if you're going to learn like we learned a moment ago, that the din of chatzois is the araisehi, because of these two psukim working together, chalkeu, chatzioi for haktara, chatzioi for haroma, for trumas hadeshen, heich mekadminan. Who gives you the right to start taking off deshen already at 10 o'clock? You're supposed to leave everything until at least 12 o'clock, because the mitzvah of trumas hadeshen only hits at 12 o'clock and later, not earlier. Elam Rabbi Yochanan, therefore Rabbi Yochanan says, I'm going to add another level of drash. Mimashva Shenemer, from that same pasuk that we were quoting until now, where it says, Tavas Arbis, Bon of Leim, Azoiz Teres Oila, He who oila al mizbeach kol halayla ad ha-boiker. The question is, kol halayla by definition means the entire night. It means until morning. So Frank Timora, mimash v'shenemer kol halayla any day shehu ad ha-boiker. I mean, that's what kol halayla means, until the next morning. Humatam alayim ad ha-boiker. Ten boiker li bokroi shel layla. What the Torah is telling us is, in addition to the regular, normal boiker, I'm going to add an earlier preliminary boiker. Meaning, under normal circumstances, boiker would take be from a mudashachar. What I'm adding is another level of boiker. And says Rashi, since I don't have any other real line of demarcation, it's going to be chatzos. So, what does that come to tell us? It comes to tell us that we have a certain degree of flexibility. As well as it tells us that legabe, the consumption of the carbon, there we can go and argue earlier and later. But as far as Trumas Hadeshen is concerned, Trumas Hadeshen is mutter kol halayla. If you look at the Rashi, umatam aloymer ad boiker, it's basically parallel or two lines lower than our Gemara. What does it mean ad boiker? Ten hashkama acheres lebokr shalayla. Boiker shalayla hu alois hashachar. The definition of boiker, when it says in the pasuk kol halayla ad boiker, that means alois hashachar. V'nos l'chakos boiker acher. The Torah didn't need to say Arabaiker because it says Kol HaLayla. So why did the Torah add Arabaiker? Loimar she'ein tzarach lahakter min hashkama ve'elech. You don't have to continue being makterit from that earlier hashkama, that earlier biker. V'kibish le'nosen zman le'oisa biker. The Torah doesn't say when that earlier biker is. Al korchachu chatzois layla. By default, we will assume that it's chatzois. Hilka chayu v'chol HaLayla kosher la'arama. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the koich to the Chachamim to go and use their discretion when would be the appropriate time for Trumas Hadeshen. Because you can go and do Trumas Hadeshen the entire night. So what Rabbi Yochanan is saying in the drasha here in the Amud Beis, it's not like we said in the Amud Aleph, split it up half and half, but rather he's saying that the entire night is kosher for both purposes, both for Haktara and for Harama. And going back, therefore, to the prior Rashi, I know I'm going out of order, but ein muktam u'ucham b'tayra, you see the fourth line of the Rashi, Elam Rabbi Yochanan, loin teima, don't learn like Rav said, chetzi lekach, v'chetzi lekach, split it down the middle. Elohachi darish ha-kosev, hechsher kol ha-layla, bein la-haktara, she'ein mu'cholin, bein la-harama, the whole entire night is kosher both for being makdir as well as for trumas hadeshen. And therefore, when would I remove deshen earlier in the night? Emyesh deshen mu'ukul. If there's deshen mu'ukul, you can even raise it and remove it. You don't have to wait till 12. You can do it at 9 or 10 o'clock in the evening as soon as you have deshen of parts of the karm, which are mu'ukul, which are totally consumed. V'chatzois da'ois se'ikl be'evorim shemosh lehen ha'ar me'hocha nafka. And chatzois that does ikl be'evorim shemosh lehen ha'ar, meaning that there's this line of demarcation called chatzois, me'hocha nafka. Imashu shenev ba'aktora kol ha'layla al moita en yedei she'arabayka kori layla. So what Rashi essentially is doing is, Rashi is creating two separate halachas. Halacha number one is the halacha of the haktara, and that din of haktara is, like we said in the Amud Aleph, depending on whether or not moshla behenu, or that it's becoming consumed by the flames, if it's before chatzois, if it's yesh behen mamish, if there's still some flesh on the bones, put it back on the marocha. On the other hand, if it's past 12 o'clock, even though it's yesh ben mamish, however, if, and it's the moshel ben or, the halacha is if it fell off of the marocha, you don't have to put it back because it's nasis mitzvosa. So that's the gabi the haktor, because haktor kol alayla. And then we have before chatzois and after chatzois. But the gabi trumas a deshin, it's kosher kol alayla. You can go and remove the deshin whenever you feel is appropriate. And therefore, going back to our Gemara now, says the Gemara, ten boiker le boiker shalayla. We now add this additional 12 o'clock before the boiker shalayla, the gabi the din of ikul, the consumption of the basar of the aver on the mizbeach, the gabi whether it was pakami al mizbeach. But now we also go and talk about the din of truma sedeshin. And ilkach b'chol yoyim tarmenes a mizbeach b'kriyas a geber oy samach loyim bein mufanim bein melachrav. Since the Torah gives us a certain degree of latitude, it says kol alayla v'heirim, therefore a whole night, so I can do it on a regular day at the time of Emunah Shachar. That leaves plenty of time to get everybody ready to do the Tamid and all the other kabbanis subsequently. However, therefore sakya v'yamekburim the ikachul shu the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur where the kohen gadol is shvach. Then we started earlier so that the Kohen Gadol has more time. He doesn't have to run back and forth. Oh, yeah, we have to start getting ready the Talmud and this, that, and the other thing. We give him a break so he can walk. He can walk and work slowly and get everything done in a timely fashion during the day. Oh, Beragolam on Yondiv, the Nefishi Yisrael. Kanainahara, there's so many Yidin Klai Yisrael. Unefishi Karbanois. And therefore, we want to give everybody a chance to bring his Uylas Ra'ian Shalmi Chagiga. We get everybody together. We start already doing the Trumas Hadeshin at 10 o'clock in the morning. Like it says, in fact, in the Mishnah. And that's why we start early on the Rikon.
So in terms of the environment, then we do use Rav's drasha.
Exactly.
But we use the other drasha for the...
For purposes of the Trumas Hadeshin. Exactly right. And... as opposed to Rav that did 50-50, what we say is that vis-a-vis the Truma Sedeshin, you can do it kol alayla, as well as the Haktorah kol alayla. That the Ikul and the Zman of whether it's Poka Me'al Gamez Be'ach Aloy Poka, that's the 12 o'clock is the defining hour. Exactly right, Yishakoyach, Brother Shai. Zok Gemara, we kept on referring in our Mishnah and our Gemara to Kriyas Geber, my Kriyas Geber, what's the definition of Geber? Rav Oma Koragavra. Koragavra means a person who is a crier, and he is the one that announces the boy said it's time to get ready with the avoida and do what has to be done. Rashi quotes again from the Mishnah, the Gemara in Masechet Shkolim. If you look, Kara Gavra, this goes now down about 2/3 of the Amud. Says Rashi, Kara Gavra, Machriz Hamamuna Al Hakruz. Back in Masechet Shkolim, we found out that his name was Gvini, at least the one in the Mishnah was Gvini, Gvini Kreuz. He was Machris Amun ala Kreuz, but Oyman he would say, Imdu Kahanim Abidaschem, Kahanim, go and get up, we have to get ready for the Avoidah. As we Yishtei Kedikhtoni Bebraise Bishmaiten, like the Braise is going to continue, we're going to have this further down on the Amid, not only the Kahanim, but also the Leviim and the Yisraelim, everybody get up, we have to do the Avoidah today. So getting back to our Gemara, so the Gemara says that's the definition of Kriya Segever, it means Kora Gavr. Reb Shila, however, disagreed with Rab. We're going to talk about Reb Shila shortly. And he says, no, the word Gever over here means the Tarnagol when the rooster starts crowing and making its noises. Is Rab equally asked Reb Shila? Rab once came to the place of Reb Shila. Remember, Reb Shila is the one that holds Kar Tarnagol. Reb Shila didn't have his Amoira. Amora we've had many times. The Gemara means a person who, number one, had very, very strong and very loud vocal cords, and therefore his voice would carry. Typically, the Tanu or the Amora that was giving the shir was giving it outside. There could have been a very large crowd of hundreds or thousands of people. It would be very hard for the people in the back of the room or the back of the crowd to hear. So they had a special Amora who had a very powerful voice. But also, he was a person that spoke in Aramaic, so he would go and teach the shir of the Tanu or the Amora. The Tanu Amora might have told it to him in Lashon Kodesh, but the masses didn't understand Lashon Kodesh, so he also acted as a meturgamon, as a translator. So Reb Shila had a whole beautiful shir prepared, but his Amora didn't come that morning. Apparently he was not well, or whatever happened. He had a conflict. So come Rav Alei, and so Rav stood up and said to Reb Shila, you know, I have a powerful voice. Why don't you share the shir with me, and I will be happy to go and transmit it to the other. And that's what he told him. He told it to him in Hebrew, and he spoke about Kriyas HaGever. And now Rav gets up, he repeats his shir, and become a farish, my Kriyas HaGever. When he, Rav, said Kriyas HaGever, he said, Kara Gavra, that the crier called out. Omle Reb Shila, so Reb Shila said, oh, why did you say that? Flamimar Kara Tana Goyla. I said it to you in Hebrew, Kriyas HaGever. I had in mind the Tana Goyla. Omle. So Rav answered him somewhat poetically, Avuv. L'chori zemer legardoi loy loy mekablu minei. What does this mean? So we'll see a metshem in the Rashi momentarily, that Rashi is telling us that you have people that love music and they have a good appreciation for certain musical instruments that the Hamoin Am might not appreciate. I remember when I was a kid, I didn't particularly appreciate a violin. I prepared something that, you know, is rah-rah-rah, makes a lot of noise that you can dance and sing and make a lot of... Violin is such a genteel, such a very beautiful instrument. Of course, when you get older, become much more mature, you have a greater appreciation. So, if you look now at the Rashi, about 12 lines before the wide lines, Rashi says, Avuv l'chori zemer. I assume everybody has that. Chalil, which is a flute, shu choshev lifnei b'nei choyrim. This is a very popular choshava type of instrument for Bnei Chayim, for the sarim and the ministers, the choshava people. Zemen Noav Orev, they listen to it and they say, oh, isn't that beautiful? The violinist, I could listen to this for hours. Le Gardoi, Gardoi means weavers. For some reason, in the times of Chazal, the weavers were considered to be a very menial type of profession, and they were kind of low lifes, if you will. Is Le Gardoi Le Kibluminei. They don't enjoy it. It's not for them. And therefore, continuing Rashi, Peter Zeshe Pirashi Lefnei Sorim Rabim. I've explained this pshat of Kriyas HaGever numerous times, Pomim Rabbis, before the great Sorim, before the great nobility. And then they didn't make any comment. So Rab was being a little bit negative vis-a-vis Reb Shila, and he's saying, I've been giving this shir and this taich for years. Nobody's ever raised a finger, nobody's ever challenged it. And now you're challenging it. So that was Rav's retort to Reb Shila. So getting back to the Gemara, Amalei, middle of the Amud, Ibuv is like a flute, L'chori Zemer, that goes and plays such beautiful music, for Chori, for the Bnei Choirin, for the nobility. The Gardoi, however, for the Gardoi, for the weavers, they don't like that type of instrument. And here too, you didn't like my taich of Kriyas HaGever, meaning Kara Gavra, and you said Kara Tana Kari. Ki Havda Kimna Alei D'Reb Chia, says now Rav further, when I used to stand as the Amoira in front of Reb Chia, my uncle, Uma Frishna, and I would explain my Kriyas HaGever, Kara Gavra, he didn't complain, my uncle Reb Chia, after all Reb Chia was the Mesader of many of the Brises, so he was a Gadol Hador, and he never complained. V'at Amrisli, Eime Kara Tana Goyla, and you're telling me Kara Tana Goyla. As soon as Rav mentioned that he had been the Amoira in front of Reb Chia, Reb Shila now understood the identity of this unknown Amoira, and he said to him, Amalei, Mar Niu Rav, You, my Amora, you're the famous Rav, the Gadol Hadar. I'm so sorry. Neinachmar, please take a seat. I didn't mean that you should go and act as my Meturgeman. It's not proper, it's not appropriate for a person of your stature to be my Meturgeman. Come on. A Rebbe in Yeshiva is giving a shir. People can't hear. Reb Moshe Feinstein's Zatzal comes on the scene. I'll repeat the shir for you. It's beneath your dignity that you repeat my shir. Give your own shir. Rav, you're the God. Amalei. So Rav answered back. Amri Inchi, people have an expression. Itagrislei poitz amre. That if you have been hired to do any type of work for an employer, do even menial types of work because you're a worker for the day. We're not talking about a contract worker where the contract is only to do X, Y, or Z. He, you know, for the whole day, you're paying me $10 an hour, $15 an hour, whatever happens to me. Whatever he asks you to do, you got to do. So therefore, once you hired me to go and act as your Amora, I'll do everything, even if you might consider this to be a little bit low in terms of esteem for my position. So if you look at the Rashi, we're now into the first wide line down below. E tagris lei, poitz amrei. If a person became a day worker and he's hired for the entire day, any type of work that he puts on you, in other words, that he asks you to do, and if you consider it to be beneath your dignity, women would do things like this. Man, I should come on. Once I started, I'm going to go and finish off. I'm not going to go and sit down. Moreover, continues Rav, Ikad Yamri Hachi Amalei, back to the Gemara, Malim Bekoydish Veloyim Mayridin. Since I was the one that started off being the Meturgeman for your shir, if somebody else is going to take over, it's going to be a gnai for the drosha, the shir that you gave, that you put together and is so scholarly. If I started off and then we're going to have somebody else who is a lower esteem now repeating the drosha and explaining it, it's going to be a hayrod the bikdusha, and therefore that would be inappropriate. Says the Gemara, Tani Kavasi Derav, Tani Kavasi Rapshil, in fact it's a machloikis, Tani Kavasi Derav, Gvini Krois, oh, that's what we had back in Mesech the Shkolim. Mao Oimer, what would he say every day when he was the crier? Im the Kehanu Levadaschem, Kehanim, get up! You have to go to the Avodah. Ulevi Leduchanchen, in Levium, get up to go on your Duchan, to go and sing at the time of the, that's the daily Yoim that we say, that the Levium used to go and shir Beis Hamikdash, they would go and sing. And those Yisraelim that would stand next to their kabbanis, in particular by the Tomei Shel Shachar, where Klal Yisrael, the Yisraelim, were divided up into 24 ma'amodos, just like the Kahanim were divided up into 24 mishmaris. Yisraelim, we want you to stand in those 11 amos in the Ezras Yisrael. And because Gvini had such a powerful voice, you could hear his voice three parsois away. Wow. It was so impressive. Masav Agrippus HaMelech Shehoyah Ba Baderech. Agrippus HaMelech was traveling. B'shama Koil, and he heard the Koil of Gvini Krois begin with parsois. Ukeshebala Beisoi, he was so impressed with the service that he was providing. Shigalei Matonais, to go and show his appreciation for his booming voice, he went and brought some Matonais for him, for Greek Gvini. V'avu Bikain, and if you think that this is something which is unique, and it is unique, nevertheless, Kohen Gadol Meshivach Mimenu, the voice of the Kohen Gadol would carry even more than that on Yom Kippur. The Omar, Ukvar Omar, Ona Hashem, when we say in the Avodah On Hashem, the Kohen Gadol is leading that part of the Avodah, On Hashem, Kaperno, etc., on Klal Yisrael. The Nishma Koila, you could hear the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur all the way to Yerichoy. And if you're worrying, if you're wondering, how far is Yerichoy? Yud Parsi, from Yerichoy all the way to Yerichoy is 10 parsois. So it's not only that this is 3 parsois and this is 10 parsois. When you're talking about a Yom Kippur, you have chulsha, meaning the Kohen Gadol is fasting, and the Kohen Gadol is doing avoida the whole day. It's a mitchinish. You would think he would really be shvach, he would be weak, and nevertheless, his voice carried up to 10 parsois. And moreover, v'hachi yimam v'hasam leila, when Gvini Krois would call out, he would call out in, I wouldn't say the middle of the night, but it was still night. It was still Amud HaShachar. As everybody knows, 72 minutes before Netz, it's still pitch dark. And the coil of a person, any noise, travels much, much stronger at night than during the day. What's the reason why you can't hear the coil of a person during the day like you hear him at night? And now the Gemara uses somewhat esoteric terms, that is the ball of the sun, the constellation of the sun, that cuts through the rakia, through the horizons, through the heavens, kechorash, like a smith, like a carpenter, thank you. A carpenter, amenase barozim, who is going and cutting up cedar trees. Meaning, that just like the carpenter cuts with a saw, so too the Galgal Chama, that constellation of the sun, also cuts through the rakia. And v'haychir g'diyoyma lo shemei. Whenever you look in the rays of the sun, particularly rays that are coming, for instance, through the window, you'll always notice these dust particles. The Gemara called these dust particles like sawdust, because since it's sawing through, the rays of the sun are sawing through the horizon, what does it produce? Sawdust. So that sawdust that it produces, lo shemei, its name is lo. Lo means it's nothing. This is gunish. And as everybody knows, those little dust particles that you see when the sun is shining, it's really, it has no relevance. And that's why Nebuchadnezzar used that same expression. All the people living on the world, they're all like nothing. As you know, Nebuchadnezzar was a very pompous individual, so he looked upon everybody else as if they're all nobodies. So here too he's saying, that dust, it's really nothing, it's gushed. Anyway, so the point is that during the day, there is a lot of noise, and you have the Galgal Chama that cuts through the rakia, and as a result, you cannot hear voices, you cannot hear cryings all that far. But at night, you don't have that Chama Menase Berakia, therefore it's clear cut, clear sailing, and a person's voice can carry much, much further. So therefore, we have three Chidushim of the Kohen Gadol over Gvini Krois. Number one, Gvini Krois did three Parsois, Kohen Gadol did 10. Gvini Krois did it during a night when he was strengthened. He presumably had a good night's sleep, and he had eaten the night before, so he's with all of his koiches. Mashenkin the Kohen Gadol, that is never cholosh, he's weak, it's Yom Kippur, he's fasting. And number three, this took place at night, and this took place during the day. Okay, now the Gemara uses somewhat esoteric terms. The Marsha says this is Derech Moshel. We'll say the Taich and Taramvanan, Ilmoli Galgal Chama Nishma, Ilmoli Galgal Chama. If it wasn't for the fact that the Galgal Chama cuts through the horizon, Nishma Koila Moinishal Rome, we'd be able to go and hear all the commotion that is coming from Rome. If it wasn't for the major commotion, the noise that comes from Rome, Nishma Kol Galgal Chama, we'd be able to go and hear the sound of the Galgal Chama sawing through the horizon. So each one of them, in a sense, counteracts and neutralizes the other, and that's why we don't hear either the tremendous noise from Rome, nor do we hear the tremendous noise which is created by the sun. The Marsha explains this Gemara and the next Gemara, all with Derech Moshel. There are three sounds that you can hear from one end of the other to the other. And the Marsha says, when we use the term over here, koil, we don't mean that you actually hear the voice carry. What we mean is that it becomes public from one end of the world to the other end of the world. Ve'elohen, what are those? Kol galgal chama, that the sun pierces the sky and the horizon. Well, you hear that and you see it all over. V'kol ha'moneh shel roimi, everybody knows what's going on in Rome. Not that in Eretz Yisrael, for instance, they can hear the noise of Rome, but the noise that Rome makes, the commotion, the politics, whatever goes on, you hear it throughout the world. In other words, the reports filter through and they're carried throughout the world. And never when a person passes away. Again, don't actually hear the person expiring, but unfortunately, the news about people passing away travels quickly and you hear it from one end of the world to the other. Especially today, with radio, television, internet, emails, faxes, and texting, and all the rest. V'yesh omrim afleida. The same thing applies to when a child is born. Baruch Hashem, good news travels and people hear. V'yesh omrim afridia. What's my ridia? So you have the top Rashi. Rashi says we're talking about a malach who's in charge of irrigating the soil. He's the one that causes water to fall in this direction from here and from there, and that subterranean waters come up. So that's the malach called malach ridia. And so you hear that noise as well, that it's raining or that it rained. You hear it in other places. Oh, I heard that yesterday it rained here, there, or wherever. And this sounds like it's the real McCoy, not just you hear reports. The Chacham went and were mispal that when the Shema leaves the Guf, it should not make that huge sound. And the Mavatal, if they cooled it off, they neutralized it, it shouldn't make that much noise. Anyway, Rabbi Isai, we should only hear Psuras Toivis.
Amen.
And Hatzlacha Rabbah, and
Amen.
A good day, and a good Shabbos. It should be continued on Sunday in Yetzirah.